Ecologists postulate that the first large-scale human societies tended to arise where, as Jared Diamond of the University of California at Los Angeles put it, geography provided a wide range of altitudes and topographies within a short distance. One such place is the Fertile Crescent, where the mountains of western Iran and the Dead Sea, the lowest place on Earth, bracket the Tigris and Euphrates river systems. Another is Peru. In the short traverse from mountain to ocean, travelers pass through 20 of the world's 34 principal types of environment. To survive in this steep, narrow hodgepodge of ecosystems, Andean communities usually sent out representatives and colonies to live up or downslope in places with resources unavailable at home. Fish and shellfish from the ocean, beans, squash, and cotton from coastal river valleys, maize, potatoes, and the Andean grain quinoa from the foothills, llamas and alpacas for wool and meat in the heights. Each area had something to contribute. Villagers in the satellite settlements exchanged products with the center, sending beans uphill and obtaining llama jerky in return, all the while retaining their citizenship in a homeland they rarely saw. Combining the fruits of many ecosystems, Andean cultures both enjoyed a better life than they could have wrested from any single place and spread out the risk from the area's frequent natural catastrophes. Murrah invented a name for this mode of existence, vertical archipelagos. Verticality helped Andean cultures survive, but also pushed them to stay small. Because the mountains impeded north-south communication, it was much easier to coordinate the flow of goods and services east to west. As a result, the region, for most of its history, was a jumble of small and medium-scale cultures, isolated from all but their neighbors. Three times, though, cultures rose to dominate the Andes, uniting previously separate groups under a common banner. The first period of hegemony was that of Chavin, which from about 700 BC to the dawn of the Christian era controlled the central coast of Peru and the adjacent mountains. The next, beginning after Chavin's decline, was the time of two great powers, the technologically expert empire of Wari, which held sway over the coastline previously under Chavin, and Tiwanaku, centered on Lake Titicaca, the great alpine lake on the Peru-Bolivia border. After Wari and Tiwanaku collapsed at the end of the first millennium, the Andes split into socio-political fragments and, with one major exception, remained that way for more than three centuries. Then came the Inca. The Inca Empire, the greatest state ever seen in the Andes, was also the shortest-lived. It began in the 15th century and lasted barely 100 years before being smashed by Spain. As conquerors, the Inca were unlikely. As late as 1350, they were still an unimportant part of the political scene in the central Andes, and newcomers at that. In one of the oral tales recorded by the Spanish Jesuit Bernabé Cobo, the Inca originated with a family of four brothers and four sisters who left Lake Titicaca for reasons unknown and wandered until they came upon what would become the future Inca capital, Cusco, Cusco in Spanish.